because it is the greatest cleansing agent the world has ever known. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God for his presence in this place this morning. Hallelujah. My text is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And basically, it's just the very first few words of that verse. The word of God says, "For I am the Lord. I do not change." Can someone say amen? I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed. Can you say amen again? Hallelujah. We live in a chaotic, frantic, constantly changing world. Change is inevitable in every area or aspect of our lives. From the time we are born until the time that we die, our appearance is constantly changing. From that little child that you can hold almost in one hand until we become too big for anybody to hold in two hands. We go through life constantly changing. We change emotionally, we change mentally, we change physically, and hopefully we're also changing spiritually as we get closer to the Lord. From the time we come into this world, everything we know is constantly changing. Our desires change, our goals change, our motivations change, our diets change. I don't know what the latest fad is. I think it's something about drinking cider water or something, but they're constantly changing. Our convictions change. Sometimes that's a tougher one. Sometimes that can be a good thing, and sometimes that can be a bad thing. Certainly, we live in a world where people's morals change, and our society's morals have changed a lot. Our economic situations have changed. It's a good thing, Paul said, I've learned how to abound, and I've learned how to be abased, because we don't always have overabundance. There are times where we may struggle, and there are other times when we just feel so blessed because of what we have. I can tell you almost everybody in America should feel blessed all of the time if you realize what the rest of the world's living conditions are. The economics situations change sometimes from day to day. The entertainment venues change. The laws of the land change. The laws of health care and medicine and science continually change. I'm always tickled about, you know, when I was young, you know, lay that baby on its belly so it doesn't choke. And then later they said, lay it on its back so it doesn't choke. And then later they said, lay it on its side so it doesn't choke. I'm glad that God created babies to be almost invincible, because we're constantly changing what's supposed to be good for them, you know. About every 10 years, they come out and tell you coffee's bad for you. And then 10 years later, they come out and say, coffee's good for you. And then they come out and they say, no, coffee's bad for you. I don't know if you ever really listen to these commercials on television about the medications. My goodness, sometimes the side effects are the very thing you take the medication for. And any side effect that says this may cause suicide or depression, I think I'm going to try to stay away from. The world is constantly changing what they think is in your best interest or what they think is best for you. We live in a world of constant change. Public policies change. Rules and regulations change. Sometimes at the whim of just our politicians. Where we work often changes. Lives change. Where we live changes, sometimes because our neighborhoods change and we want to move on, or sometimes because we get different jobs and we move from one place to another. Sometimes the most devastating changes occur in our relationships due to abandonment or due to death or due to disappointments in relationships that break up and fall away. If you're like me, there are probably some times when you would like to just say, stop the world from spinning for a moment so I can catch my breath. Any of you ever feel that way? I do. There's times I say, you know, God, you know, but that's really a dangerous prayer to pray, because if you start wanting the world to stop, the world doesn't stop, but something can happen to you and you stop. I've heard people say, well, I guess I was going through that because God was trying to get my attention or trying to slow me down. And I think sometimes there may be some truth to that as God is making all things work together for good. But the world that we live in is so chaotic that at times we feel like we just don't even have enough time to stop and take a breath. In an ever-changing world, there is one constant. I am the Lord, I do not change. God is now, He is been, and He will forever be. He has always been what He is today and what He will be tomorrow. Perfection cannot be improved upon. Some of you looked in the mirror and said that before, haven't you? Perfection cannot be improved upon, and the Bible declares He is perfect in every way. It dawned on me at some point in my life that God's never learned anything in the last 6,000 years. So what do you? If He's omniscient, if He already knows everything, He's not learning anything new. Hello? It's no wonder the wisest man that ever lived, or supposed wisest man that ever lived, said there's nothing new under the sun, because there's a God that extends beyond the sun who knows it all. The Bible teaches that God is ascetic, transcendent, and immutable. Aseity, I said ascetic, I mean aseity. Aseity means that God is self-derived, self-existent, and self-sufficient. God is independent from His creation. There's a lot of people around that'll tell you that we created God. No. God created us. In fact, God created time. Therefore, He is also transcendent. He was before time began, and He will be, if time ever ends, He will be God throughout eternity. He exists outside the boundaries of our dimensions, as well as in our dimension. Someone said He is, He was, and He always will be. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Another one of His characteristics, like aseity, is He is transcendent. And then, of course, because He exists beyond time, He is also immutable. And that word simply means unchanging. In Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4, the Bible said, God is the rock, and I would say the foundation of all things. God is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. As a faithful God who does no wrong, upright, just is He. What is it saying to us there? Number one, it's saying that God is the beginning of all things. Secondly, His works are perfect. There are no imperfections in His work. You may not like what God created you to be, but He created you as a perfect work for the perfect plan He has for your life. Not only are His works perfect, but they are just. There's no miscalculations there. He has made you what He wants you to be, and you're a perfect fit for His purpose and plan and calling. The Bible said He does no wrong. He is the source of all goodness, all righteousness, all perfection or holiness. He is faithful and righteous. Can you say amen? In Numbers 23 and 19, as well as in 1 Samuel 15 and 29, they both tell us, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should change His mind. Kind of an indictment upon mankind. Because men often lie and often change their minds, but not God. He never comes up with new information that forces Him to change His mind, because He is omniscient. Psalms 33 and 11 said, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. the purposes of his heart through all generations. Do you know God doesn't have a backup plan? You and I better always have a backup plan. But God doesn't need a backup plan. Because he is unchanging. Because he is immutable. One of the great things for a believer to know is that he is dependable. Amen. We may not always trust the promises of man, the words of people, because they can change and they can fail. Sometimes we can make promises with every intention of keeping them and not be able to do so because of our frailty, because of our lack, because of circumstances that arise and that come up. But God is absolutely dependable because he is immutable. I shop a lot at Sears Club. And I get so frustrated when I get used to buying a product there and then I go in to buy it and they don't sell it anymore. You know? We buy a lot of turkey bacon because it's better for me. Just think how big I would be if I just ate real bacon all the time. By the way, I had some real bacon not too long ago and oh my goodness. I'm just going, is that good? I've eaten turkey bacon for so long, I forgot. Well, we'd buy a certain brand of turkey bacon at Sam's Club, and one day I went in, they didn't have that brand anymore. They had another brand. So it comes in a package of 3 pounds or three pack, maybe 12-ounce package, but 3 packages. I bought them. Man, it took forever to get them, and I finally threw the last package away because it was terrible. And my wife said, why did you buy that? I said, because they didn't have the other brand. You know, they probably got a cheaper venue, and so they sold me the cheaper stuff. And it wasn't cheaper because I had to throw half of it away. It was terrible. By the way, about 2 weeks ago, I went in and they had the old brand back, so I must not have been the only one that hated the new brand. But they're constantly changing as they get different products at cheaper prices because they're not in business to serve you and me. They're in business to make money. You know. Constantly changing. But the God that I serve isn't changing his storehouse. He's not changing his products, his provisions for us. God doesn't change his merchandise. He is still a God dispensing grace, dispensing goodness, dispensing glory, dispensing forgiveness, dispensing healing. God is still a God who says, I have everything you need. Hallelujah. He is a God that does not change. He's a God of grace and mercy and love, but he's also a God of holiness and righteousness. God still hates sin. I'm begging for an amen there. Don't go there, preacher. You know, God still hates sin. Somehow people think because Jesus died on the cross, God doesn't hate sin anymore. No, he does. Because he doesn't change. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. It's the same God. He's still omnipotent. He's still omniscient. He's still omnipresent. And he still hates sin. The good news is that he still loves mankind. This 6,000 some year experiment is still going on because God has not given up on us yet. What amazes me is when you read about the future, there will be a time when there will be no sin for 1,000 years. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. We'll have peace on earth for 1,000 years. We will know nothing but the holiness of the Lord for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, as soon as man gets a chance to sin again, he does. How could God keep anyone out of heaven? Well, he doesn't have to. We keep ourselves out of it if we choose not to come under the new covenant. And the new covenant is Jesus Christ, his blood shed for us. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are the same God. He still hates sin. Now, you wouldn't believe that if you look at most Christians today. You know, hey, mellow out, Pastor. What once was sin is not sin anymore. That's a lie. Now, there may be some things we called sin that we don't call sin anymore. But if it was sin yesterday, it's sin today, and it'll be sin tomorrow. Because sin is rebellion against the will and work of God. It is missing the mark of what God has called us to be, and that has not changed. And it never will change. Because the God who created us doesn't change. Churches change their beliefs, their expectations, their compliances. But God doesn't change. Our text said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." James 1 and 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of lights." Amen. I love that. But that's not the end of that verse. It says, "With whom there is no variation." Won't he just fudge a little bit there? "With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." What does it mean, shadow of turning? It means there's not a chance that he's going to change. He is declaring God is not only immutable or unchanging, there is not even the slightest hint of him being less than absolutely consistent. And it's important that we understand that. Because as a believer, I depend upon the immutability of God to have faith in God. I know the God that loved me yesterday is going to love me today. We used to sing a song, "He loves me when you're right and he loves you when you're wrong. He loves you when you're weak and he loves you when you're strong. He's every day the same." God loves me when I'm in the good times, and God loves me when I'm struggling. He will never quit loving me. But as I preached a few weeks ago, love in itself is not enough. I've got to respond positively to that love. And I've got to love him in return. As a believer, I don't have to wonder whether God is going to hear me. Whether God's going to meet my needs. Because he always does. He may not do it in the way I anticipate or the way I expect or as quickly as I would like. But he's always on time. And he always is sufficient for my needs. If there's anything I've learned in being in the ministry for all of these years, is that I can expect the unexpected when it comes to how God's going to do it, but I don't have to question whether he's going to do it, because he does it every time. He doesn't change. He loves me. In fact, there's not even anything I can do to make him love me more than he already loves me. The key is being in a position where his love can benefit me because I allow it to. Amen. He's never going to quit loving me. And that is the foundation of my faith. For if I am committed to him, then I can trust him. I don't have to worry about whether he's going to be up to it this week or not, you know? I don't have to worry about, maybe he'll be fickle this week on me. No. People are fickle. Man can be fickle. You and I at times may be, fickle and unstable and leaning in different directions. But God doesn't. He says, "I am the I am." "Well, who said Isaiah is sending me?" Tell him, "I am sent you." That was the message for all time. He is an I am God. He does not change. And so for the believer, for you and I who know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with him, and I don't mean know him like third cousin. I mean know him like we're engaged. Hello? For you and I who have that kind of relationship, that love relationship with God, the immutability of God is a powerful force for security and peace in our heart. I know he's not going to turn me away if I come into him, if I call upon him. I can trust him. But if I'm an unbeliever, that's a scary proposition. It means I'm not going to wear God down. You know, God is not like some mother or father that the kid keeps pulling, you know, on their pant leg and says, oh, but mommy, please, mommy, please, mommy, please, mommy, please, mommy, please, mommy, please. And after a while, you're willing to just about do anything to get them to shut up. You know, hey, my kids are driving me crazy, you know. Unfortunately, that's usually your fault. Oh, ouch. Because my parents never let me drive them crazy. Oh, now you've gone and did it. Please forgive me if I offended you. But here's the truth. God hasn't mellowed out. The God of fire in the Old Testament is the God of fire in the New Testament. Did you know that? The Bible says, in the New Testament, God is a consuming fire. So does he want us to live in fear? No, he wants us to be saved. But if we're not saved, if we're not right, if we're not living right, if we're not doing right, if we're not in a right relationship with him, you see, it's not that the New Testament God has somehow become Grandpa Santa Claus and it doesn't matter, everything's cool, it's all right. No, he hates sin now as much as he ever did. The difference is not that he's a different God, it is that we have an opportunity for a different covenant relationship. The Bible says in the New Testament, God still hates sin and actually hates sinners every day. And yet, when we come unto Christ and he looks at us, he sees us through a different set of lenses. He sees us through the blood of his Son. He sees us through the righteousness that is given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that makes all the difference in the world. It's not that he's quit hating sin. It's that he sees that our sins have already been paid for and that we have passed from judgment into relationship with him. Can somebody say amen? And that is a powerful thing to understand and know. I don't have to ever give up, give up, give up, give up, give up. Because he does have my best interests in mind. He will work all things together for my good. If I love him and are committed to his purposes. The problem so often is that we're trying to get God to be on our team. Hey, God, I got all these plans. I got all these things I want to do. I have all these desires, and I'm just asking you to bless it all. How do you get God on your team? You don't. You get on his team. Amen. You get on his team. You know. Doesn't he want to bless me? Yes. And he's told us exactly how that can be done. You see, this book is so wonderful because even though it was written over 1,500 years back, over 3,000 years ago in the beginning, its truths are still true. We've learned a lot scientifically. We've learned a lot, you know, historically. We've learned a lot. I mean, knowledge today is unreal. You know, my iPhone has saved me hours of doing sermon preparation. Because I don't have to get out a Strong's Concordance with a magnifying glass to find a verse of scripture. I can say, Siri, where is this verse found? Blah, 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 blah. And in about 3 seconds, she tells me. I don't think she's even saved, but she knows the word of God. The information is there. I've never tried it, but I bet you could say, Siri, what do I need to do according to the scriptures to be saved? And she'll probably give you the Roman road. Try it after church. I can see people go, oh, let me check that out now. You know, I mean, information is everywhere, but the information doesn't mean anything if there's not commitment. To know him in the sense of knowing about him is no big deal. A third of heaven, the angels of heaven fell with Satan. And they knew him personally, but not in the way that we know him. The God of the Old Testament is still God, and he still hates sin. But when he looks at us through the blood of Jesus, And the key is understanding that it's not just the blood of Jesus that was shed 2,000 years ago. It's the blood that still covers us today. I don't understand exactly how that works, but it's still alive. It's still real. It's still potent. You see, he shed his blood 2,000 years ago, and I wasn't born. I wasn't even a gleam in my father's eye 2,000 years ago because my father wasn't even in existence, my earthly father. But him, because time is irrelevant to his attributes, saw into history me and my need. And when he died on the cross, he said, "This blood is for you. This blood is for you. This blood is for you and you and you and every one of us." And somehow it's lived all of these years and it's still being applied to our lives. And as long as we're in that right relationship under the blood, in the covenant, you know, if we're in the pocket, boy, if we're in that groove, some people would say, if we're where we need to be spiritually, we don't ever have to fear anything because the God we serve has already seen everything we're going to deal with and has already provided opportunities and escapes and blessings for those who trust in him. But for the unbeliever, it is a frightening thing because he is still a God of holiness and righteousness, and he still demands repentance from sin. You can be baptized 150 times, and he still requires repentance from sin. You can join every church in town. He still requires repentance from sin. And repentance is not, "I'm sorry I sinned." Repentance is, "I'm not only sorry I sinned, but I'm turning away from it, and I'm beginning a new life. I'm going to live my life trusting you and not trusting my own desires." His grace, his mercy, his forgiveness is not because he's less righteous, but because Jesus fulfilled the righteousness of God. He fulfilled the righteous requirements for us. You can live the Christian life for a lifetime and still not be good enough outside the righteousness of Christ. God is unchanging and his attributes are perfect. His wisdom is all conclusive. His power is unlimited. His love is not lacking. His presence is not missing. Where are you, God? Right here. His glory is not fading. Man, stop your mouth from saying, "Boy, the good old days." The good old days were not that good. He's the God of today. I am who I am. And his holiness is unwavering. He is not the God of was or the God of who will be. He is the God who is. He is eternal. His faithfulness is eternal. His love is eternal. His word is eternal. God has given us his eternal word so that we have no excuse when we stand before him. If we know the truth and embrace the truth, we will have great confidence on the day of judgment and every day prior to it. Did you catch that? And every day prior to it. God doesn't want us to live our lives in fear about whether everything's all right or not. No. If you have a relationship with someone, you know whether it's all right or not. Amen. There's not a husband here that doesn't know when his wife's upset, even if she doesn't say anything. In fact, that's usually when you know your wife is upset. If you think her talking drives you crazy, wait till she stops talking. No. If we have a right relationship, then we can live without fear. And there's not a better blessing that I know of than to live without fear. I don't have all my ducks in a row. I don't even know where some of my ducks are. But I trust God to take care of me. I still got some prayers that haven't been answered yet, but I know he's faithful. And I just have to trust it's not time yet. Because when it's the right time, you know. This is vacation time. How many of you have already heard 100 times?
Are we there yet?
Oh, it sounds like, are we there yet? No, we're just 5 more minutes down the road. Used to be coloring books. Now it's all kind of video equipment. You know, just keep playing. We'll get there. You know, are we there yet? Sometimes we think he's not an ever-present God because we can't see the evidence of his presence. But he's an unchanging God. He is omnipresent. He is always there. Had a person tell me one time they got so convicted. It was a relative of mine. They got so convicted that they were living in Ohio. They got so mad at God and so convicted that they decided to move to Arizona to get away from God. After about a year out there, they moved back. They said, you know what? God's in Arizona too. I said, yeah, a lot of senior citizens out there. And they took God with them. He's everywhere. He sees it all. He's not blind to your situation. And if you're surrendered to him, that's an awesome thing. If you're not surrendered to him, it's like, okay, when are you going to let me be your heavenly Father? When are you going to trust me? When are you going to put your life in my hands and quit just doing the things that you want to do so that I can bless you? I've seen both sides of that street, and I want to be on Believer Street. On that straight and narrow street. If we know the truth and embrace the truth, we will have great confidence. If we know the truth but do not embrace the truth, then we will live with anxiety our entire lives. Because somewhere inside us, we know God's not going to make excuses for us. And he's not going to mellow out and say, you know, well, I know for a while I didn't let anybody in. But you know, I'll make a few exceptions. No. We're either in Christ all the way or we're not. And if we're in Christ all the way, then we need to be following his spiritual leadership. And I'm not talking about human. I'm talking about the word and spirit of God. Although he has human leaders too. But we will make the decision to follow the Lord. For several weeks, I said in every service, they say you have to say something for 7 times. I think I said it for 14 times just to make sure if there's any slow learners here. For me to live is Christ. On a couple occasions, I even asked you to stand. And repeat that with me. For me to live is Christ. Because without Christ, there is no hope. You know what hope over heroin is? It's Christ. You know what hope over depression is? It's Christ. You know what hope over sin is? It's Christ. Hope for a quality life in this world and in the world to come, it's Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Outside of him, the God that wants to bless me cannot bless me because my sin keeps me from his blessings. But I thought if you got saved, that took all of that away. No, salvation isn't an experience, it's a relationship. It's not a good housekeeping seal of approval, you know. It's not a diploma. It's a relationship. And if we're living in that godly relationship, then the immutability of God means it's all right. It's all right. But if we're not living in that relationship, if we're not in submission to Christ, if we're not walking according to his spirit, then our lives will be filled with anxiety and frustration. For me to live is Christ. If that's you and you want to renew
that relationship this morning through the holy sacraments, would you stand to your feet? Can someone just say, for me to live is Christ? Amen. Say, Pastor, you didn't finish that verse of Scripture. I know the rest of the Scripture says, and to die is gain. But I don't think all of you are volunteering to die today. But I do want you to volunteer to live for Christ, because it's in your best interest to do so. Can you remember who it was now? I had a little girl just the other day. Might have been Matthew's little girl. I'm not sure. She's like 4. No, I take it back. It was Audrey, who's 8. She said, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not ready to go yet. She said, I want to live for a little while before I go. I said, yeah, that's a good plan. I said, live for Jesus, and you'll be ready when it's time. But today we can live for him. There may come a time when we have to die for him in the world we're living in. But today we can live for him. And that's exactly what he wants. Father, I pray for every person standing here this morning. You know their heart. You know the confession of their heart. I'm sure that every one of them want to live for you. Sometimes we can be committed to an idea, but not put it into practice. Help us to do more than just be committed to an idea. Help us to put it into practice, Lord. Help us to surrender. We sang about it, Lord. Help us to surrender to you. Because you don't want us to live lives of fear. You said fear brings torment. And you don't want us to be tormented. You want us to have confidence and to live in your peace, knowing that we can do all things through Christ and knowing that you will make all things work together for our good. Because you're an immutable God, you don't have to worry and deal with the perplexities of life. You've seen it all. You understand it all. You know all the twists and turns. You've already seen everything the devil has planned for us. You can not only heal what he's already done to wound us and break us, but you can protect us from everything he has planned. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against us will succeed in any way, because we are in you. God, help us to be in you.